are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Greetings! Yes, it's a lovely summer's day here in Scotland. Finally, we've managed to reach some summer. And they've just moved a whole bunch of new cows and calves and newborns and everything into the field next door. So you may hear the odd moo in the background. So be aware, it's just it's about 200 yards away. They're not invading the garden. Although two of them did try to invade the garden last night. That was quite fun. Anyway, greetings. This is Journeys, and I am JP. And tonight, I was wondering what I was going to speak with, and then suddenly the whole bunch of topics turned up. So I'm going to bring in, first of all, Cuatro Zapatas, which, for those of you who do not speak anything like Cod Spanish, means 4 feet. And I think that refers to her four-legged friends. So we're just going to call her in. Cuatro, hi. Are you there? Your mic might be muted. You could try unmuting your mic. So, yeah, I can hear sounds. Cuatro?
Can you hear me now?
Yay!
Hello, can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
Yay, sorry, JP.
Gotcha.
Technically challenged.
Bless your heart.
Good evening, kind sir.
Good evening, how are you?
Well, very well today, thank you, JP.
Isn't it great to have two British voices speaking out over these American airwaves? I love it.
I take it all so for granted now when we're all together on a call, and sometimes you come off and you go, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
We're just all over the planet. That was, how cool was that?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm still gobsmacked by it, I have to say. You know, I've been using computers more than, like, longer than most people on the planet, you know, since the late 70s, and I'm still gobsmacked by it. I'm still impressed by emails, you know.
Me too. I know, my nephew, you can't believe that we didn't have internet when we were children.
Yeah.
He's like, what? You didn't have, like, mobiles? The internet? How did you manage?
Yeah. Well, I first came across computers at 16, and you had to put a telephone in a little wooden cabinet box that had a hinge on it, and the old-fashioned receiver using, it was all the phones, remember? All the phones used to be exactly the same. There was no such thing as an individual telephone. All telephones were the same, it was like made in the same mould.
They were black, weren't they? And they were really heavy and slow to dial.
Well, yeah, the Bakelite ones. But then, you know, the ones that we had in the 60s, before the trim phone, the ones that went...
Yeah.
The ones with
they
the bells.
They were beige plastic, weren't they?
Yeah, they had. They were just made of plastic, but they were all the same. And anyway, so this thing was specifically made for having that handset stuck into a box, and you could hear the thing whistling. It was like a little soundproof box, and it was called an acoustic coupler, and it got the grand total of 1,200 bits per second.
Way.
Whoa. 1,200 bits per second. That was about as fast as a good typist.
That's not bad. That's pretty impressive, isn't it, actually? I actually helped to break an entire mainframe once by accident.
Oh,
I was
wow.
set up when they were the room-sized things. Mm. That's another story.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do it.
I'm sure they were very
it's
pleased.
It's not a funny story, but maybe for another time. How I helped sabotage a computer unwittingly.
Yeah.
And then met the person who put the virus in many years later. Yeah. A disgruntled college ex-employee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a time bomb.
Yeah, I was the person who hit the enter key twice.
Ooh.
Yeah. it's quite a funny story. But Catherine and Bill were, hello, they're just going to be so surprised because we're literally just be chatting away on Skype.
And
I snuck
no
over
idea.
Here and talked to you to surprise them.
Excellent.
But we've just been having revelations.
Tell us about your revelations.
I was buzzing. Oh, wow. It's how huge is this? Where do we start? It encompasses a lot of stuff we've been talking about recently. Tracy's been talking about you and everyone. But where do we start? Kath's got a great link. Hopefully she'll post in a minute. Because we were just talking about visions and about that we've been seeing in lights around us quite a bit recently. And what are they? And we were discussing like when the air goes thick and you get the white lights that are all swirling around and it's a bit syrupy. I don't know if you've seen that. It feels
syrupy
like
white lights.
Syrupy air.
Syrupy air.
The air feels thick. And like it's full of these white lights that look a bit sperm-like. And I'm not sure if that's because they are sperm-like or they've got tails. And Kath and I have been seeing this and she tells me that this is prana. And
yeah, she's wiggly things.
Yeah, a bit wiggly, definitely wiggly.
I've seen, when I look up into the sky, I see wiggles everywhere. Little wiggly, like wiggly worms, really quick.
That's what we're talking about. That's
yeah.
the stuff.
That's the stuff. Yeah. And somebody's got this word. They call it panspermia. And I always think when I see these little wiggles, I think panspermia, because panspermia means the seeding of planets from the outside.
Wow.
You know, that everything
is
life. And
you are so on it.
And this is what we call prana. Yeah. Absolutely. Or chi. Or, indeed, orgone.
Right, so it's orgone is the same thing?
It's all the same, yeah.
Right, so it's not
different words.
Another thing?
It's okay. It's like Tuesdays called Mardi,
See.
You know, we have different names for the same energy.
Different names in different languages.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we call them chips, they call them French fries, you know.
They still taste great.
Yeah, and like they're not French. That's nothing to do with the French. French people don't like chips. And they call chips crisps. Anyway, this is getting mad.
I'm just so buzzing. You know, it's quite. I'm just like, bring me back down a bit. But yeah, panspermia. We literally were just saying a minute ago about how they look like sperm and have tails, and Kat was saying, this is life force. And she's seen encountered it in sort of come take rope forms, and we were saying, wow, so this stuff can form forms, and then found stuff that said that this is life, you know, which creates life forms. So I was like, wow, okay, this is enormous. And I've experienced this a couple of days ago, just around me, the white lights, and maybe a couple of weeks ago around me again, but when I was in bed. We've also been seeing other little blue lights. I'm fascinated by what they are. But it seems like, is there increased prana around us, increased life force? And Kath has got this amazing link that photonic twins, which I must tell you about the vision I had. Well, it wasn't a vision, this is like, it really happened here in 3D. We had visitors that was told at the time, they're just photonic twins, that's the name I got. They were made of this thick, swirly air, with the lights, the sperm-like lights, and came to visit one tea time. And Kath just found a link that said that when the God Force, Life Force, wants to communicate with us, it can send these forms in to help us. This is just, wow. So this is quite mind-blowing that the life forces can sort of maybe take more form to help us. I'm buzzing wildly. I feel like it's brought a load of stuff together for me. I'll stop babbling for a bit. It's quite something, isn't it? Are you there, JP? So server's gone down, I think. Turn up. Hi. I've a jiggle. Jiggle, jiggle. Can you hear me now, JP? Any joy? Ah, you can hear me? But I can't hear you. Everyone can hear me, still babbling wildly, but I can't hear any of you. Oh, I'll just have a fiddle with my stuff, and just type when you want me to stop talking, JP, but I'd like to tell you about this visit, if that's all right. It was many, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and I was around at my friend's place having a cup of tea at tea time, and just normal tea time, midweek. I think I'd been to college. I'd been about 17, and she was a bit older than me. Boring grey evening. And suddenly, the air, suddenly there was an energy change, and you just couldn't hear any of the noises of the world anymore. Noises of cars going past, and people chatting. There'd been loads of people going past the window. It just went very quiet. And the energy changed incredibly. And I got on the edge of my seat. It's like, what's going on? And then I heard a clock tower bell. There was a clock tower right next to us. The bell started chiming, but it doesn't have a bell. And it sounded like it was miles away through a fog. Incredible, but just this, very soft bell. And then through this, just the silence and the bell, from up above, right up above us, like right up in the sky, started coming this whooshing sound, quietly to start with. And getting louder as it kind of whooshed down, and this sort of, it felt like the circles were getting bigger as it was getting closer. And it whooshed down around the house, came in through the wall of the front room. As it came in, before the beings came, discs of light with, it looked like maybe pentagram shapes in, or some sort of symbolic shape in light, and the edges of the discs were light, and they came in. And then behind them came these two beings, hand in hand, made of this thick, sparkly air. And they walked across the room and turned over a piece of paper on my friend's dresser. I'm still on the edge of my seat, my cup and saucer clinking, and just turned around and walked back out again. And for the rest of the evening, there were see-through sparkly cats playing with the cat there for hours. And the next day when I went back to visit, the mirrors were still on the ground that fell off when the wall shuddered as they came in. And there was a huge amount of brick dust all over the room. So, photonic twins.
Yes. Beans. You can hear me now.
I can.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you again, thank you.
Feels a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was leaning on this again. Table. And, wow. A series of odd little connections caused my elbow to push a bunch of stuff that pushed another bunch of stuff that then switched off the preamp to my microphone.
Oh, I've been having such a day of that today.
Is Mercury still retrograde? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so forms made of this sparkly air.
Yeah, so little life forms. Now, forms are another thing we use, in meditation and things like that, are geometric forms. They're very handy to have around. We were talking about pyramids the other night. Were you on that one?
Yes, I was. It's great, yeah.
So,
yeah, the discs with forms, like you said, geometric-ish forms on. What do you think of them?
Oh, that's interesting. Now I was trying to figure out stuff while you were talking, so I wasn't entirely paying attention. But excuse me, but I was like, oh my God, I can't see anything, I can't hear anything, nobody can hear me, and everybody's going, where's JP? On the chat room, can't hear him.
sorry, I was such a chatterbox.
Oh dear, Bill's lost 128 sound banks. That's a lot. I hope he's got a backup. Not confused today. Yeah, well, there are everybody else is confused. You must be the only sane person in an insane world. So, yeah, Orgon. Chi.
Yeah.
Photonic energy.
Are these beings like...
Oh. Quattro, now you've disappeared. You said, are these beings like... And then... There. Are you there, back?
Any good?
Nearly. Try again. Mercury retrograde is a condition of astrological forces whereby Mercury appears to be going retrograde in its orbit compared to our orbit. And during this time... like I said, I've been in the computer business a long time, and during this time, when Mercury goes retrograde, I usually get more job calls, because things go wrong, communications go out. I had two laptops in on the weekend. Are you here, Quattro?
Can you hear me?
Oh, you've gone really quiet now. Give it another, give it a tap.
I'm telling myself I'm at maximum. Can you hear me?
No, you're really, really quiet, love.
Oh, can I swear?
Try turning up your mic on Skype if you can.
It's my headset.
It's your headset.
It's my headset, I think.
Yeah. It sounds like it's well off. You're well off mic now. Ah, it's getting better.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Can you go up a little bit more?
Failed me. No, it's failed me. It's at maximum, and I'm twiddling things.
Okay. You're kind of fading in and out. It's interesting. You're coming back in. That should do. People should be able to hear you.
Yeah. I won't move.
Ah, stay there. Stay right there. That's perfect. Okay.
You break up a bit now, but I can cope.
Okay. Well, we were talking. Right, okay. Orgon.
Yes.
Is a name that Wilhelm Reich gave it. Chi, or Ki, or Kui, they're all the same. They are the same as the Force.
Yeah.
They are the same as... what was that other energy you were talking about? Reiki? Still Ki.
Ah, Reiki.
Reiki,
yeah.
Means universal energy. Reiki. Ki means energy.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
So all of these things are essentially the same now, all energy. You know, it's like saying sound. You know, you can have sound that you can hear. We call that sonic or audible. And then you have ultrasonic, which we can't hear, but it's still sound. And we got subsonic, which we can't hear, but it's still sound. And everything makes a sound, even we do when we're not talking. You know, every movement that we make, even just sitting still, we make a faint sound as our heart expands 72 times a minute. So everything has a frequency. And it's a matter of what is the frequency of these things and in what spectrum they live, you know, whether it's electromagnetic or scalar or audio, you know, so it's sound pressure, and or if it's a wave in water, for instance, that's another form. So, and indeed, thanks, Pop. Ah, prana, that's the other word, Bills. Thank you very much. That was the last thing I was trying to remember, prana. And essentially, they're all the same thing. And here's a couple of interesting factoids.
Wow.
And interesting factoids about prana. Prana is what holds clouds together.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So this is what holds forms together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what you're talking about, these stringy things, this, you know, it can be formed into all sorts of, like, gossamer thread or something like that, like a spider's web, you know. And imagine something that was very, very fine, like a spider's web, that's what holds the clouds together.
Wow. So it's like we're seeing more what I sort of call 4D stuff, aren't we, here?
Yeah, and like, I think...
In speech marks, or...
Yeah, well, let's just call it energy, because, you know, to us it's energy, right? But it's almost like available energy. It's almost like you can now start maybe scooping this stuff out of the air.
Wow.
You know, that machine that Tesla built?
Yeah, it's all around us, isn't it? And it's there for...
That big tower that Tesla built?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Wardenclyffe Tower, that's what it's getting. It's like a big net. It's sucking this stuff up. And Wilhelm Reich created this thing called a cloud buster. And no joke, this thing works. And
and it works because it's using orgone, and the energy of the clouds is orgone.
It draws the energy sort of orgone away from the cloud. It's like a
hoover. Wow.
It sucks the orgone from the cloud, and that's why it disperses. Then the water's got nothing to hold on to.
So that's how it works.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like sort of.
And
light,
and
light.
Okay. You saw the men who stare at goats.
No, I haven't. Although I sort of know about it.
Do get to watch it. I'm sure you can see it for free on the internet somewhere. You know, George Clooney is driving along the road, and there's this other guy, this journalist with him, and you see Clooney kind of he's dipping his head forward and looking up very briefly, and then looking back at him and looking at the road and then looking up, and he keeps on saying, what are you doing? He said, cloud busting. So here's the thing. Cool. If you're good at this stuff, if you understand about the movement of energy, you can start moving energy with your mind and drawing in this orgone through your eyes.
And
that's
how
you
right
bust clouds.
Yeah, it's there for us. It's there for the taking, kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like it's saying, here I am.
Yep.
Do, you know, what sort of shapes would you like, you know, to make me into? What do you want to do?
Use the force.
Yeah, use the force. And I guess that's exactly, we can form it into our Jedi wands, can't we?
Yeah.
Or wands, sorry, what do you call them? Sabers?
Like that, yeah. But they're wands, yes.
Very nice one, very nice. Yeah, this is just suddenly like a wave coming over me, like this literally this last hour, all this information, these connections. And I'm going, wow. I just feel like and my subconscious is kind of getting it more than my conscious, I think. Because I'm struggling to kind of put into words stuff. But I just feel like I've relearned something, or I'm, that I know, but it's more visual now. It's like, wow.
Yeah, well, it
I
makes sense.
I actually see it.
Yeah.
It was there all along, I guess, but I just couldn't see it.
Well, here's the thing. I think that in
what
the last few years, this energy has been increasing. You know, I think the reason that more and more people are getting into healing and seeing all this stuff is because this energy is becoming available. It's like the tide is rising again.
Yes. And that's been what we're talking about with the alignments and the energies coming in, isn't it? It's like a time, a cosmic time.
And all the nexus and da-di-da-di-da. Yeah,
yes.
Because what we're going to have this wash... This wave, you've been talking about the wave, yeah?
Yes.
Right.
Is that the same as what we call it, as the photon belt experience?
You know, this whole thing, people have been talking about the photon belt for a long time, and I still can't get it.
Oh,
In terms of astronomical realities,
okay.
I still can't get it, but...
Right.
We'll leave that out for the second, because we are going to get the ribbon, and that might be the same thing.
And the ribbon is like more 3D, is it? It's like it's actual sort of physical particles. Maybe the photon belt is more in 4D, and we're sort of in it.
I don't know. I don't know about it. You see, Quattro. I don't know about it, so I can't talk about it. Right? So I'm just going to leave that at the side. But there's something that is astronomical and that is measured and is coming our way. I've been talking about
it's astronomical and measured. Okay.
Yeah, this is. I mean, if you look at the galaxy,
yes,
and the galaxy is a big flat disk thing, and we're right out at the edge.
Yes, we're right at the edge, aren't we?
So, if there is a ripple that comes out of the center of the galaxy, rippling outwards, if we're looking at the edge back into it, we see the whole thing as a kind of line, and that's what we call the Milky Way.
Right, okay, yes.
And coming from that direction is the is this ripple. Now, again, we'll see that ripple as a line, as a ribbon.
Okay.
And okay. Essentially that's spreading out, and it's, you know when it's going to hit? 23rd of December. It's going to impinge on the sun at that point, and us several hours later. It's faster than the pulse of the solar wind, which is about 200 kilometers a second. This thing is much faster than that.
Wow.
And of course, this is a wave that's been traveling from the center of the galaxy.
It's coming from the center of the galaxy.
Yeah, the black hole at the center of the galaxy emits this wave. It's been traveling here for billions of years.
Okay.
And it sends out pulses on various levels at different rates, but this is like a 26 million year thing or something like that.
Right, so this is the 26,000 year cycle as well? So does it tie into that, or is it
all
a bigger
different
cycle?
All these different cycles, lots of different cycles. This one is very large because this is an evolutionary cycle.
Yeah, and its arrival date is the same as, you know, in the Mayan tradition, the arrival of, you know, at the center point of the photon belt, isn't it?
Yeah. So the center point of the galaxy is called by the Mayans the Hunabku.
That's right. Hunabku.
Hunabku. Yeah. This is like the beginning of the clock.
Oh my gosh! What? Sorry, just had a massive revelation moment. The serpent,
yes.
The serpent symbol, and the ribbon coming towards us.
Yes.
When you said Hunabku, I just got it. You know, I spent some time with the Maya in Mexico, 2.5 years, and studied. I let it wash over me, you know. But the serpent is everywhere within the Mayan calendar, isn't it, and cosmology. Such an important symbol, serpent.
Yes. So this is bigger than the 26,000 years, but obviously they're all going to coincide. They're all zeroing at this point, right? Because the last time this happened, 26 million years ago, there was a massive leap in evolution.
Right.
Yep. And there was no missing link.
Yes.
That means things evolved in a quantum fashion. Quantum being, it snaps from one state to another. There's no transition. It just goes from one.
And it's for everyone.
For every single being, you move on to the next possible step.
Yes,
now, for us humans, we're able to move on to higher steps if we're conscious about it.
Right.
And
consciousness.
Yes. If you're. I mean, it's like a big flow, okay? And the further towards the middle of the big flow you get, the further you get onto the other side. You kind of squeeze through this big set of rollers, and the more flexible you can be, the easier you can move through this flow, the faster you'll pop out on the other side of the flow, and the greater the amount of energy you'll have. As you know, when you kind of land back again, wherever you are, you know, whatever's going to be going on. There's a lot of talk that it's that remote viewers, when they have been looking at this thing, they see it as the Nexus, and it's very much like the Nexus idea in the Star Trek movie Generations. Have you seen Star Trek Generations?
I'm a Trekkie. Yes, yeah. I'm a Trekkie through.
Yeah,
you know, it resonates, and it's been shown to us, as you said, in films, and it's out there, isn't it?
Yeah, and in this film, you know, there was a ribbon in the sky that just seemed to be traveling, you know, just traveling through the galaxy like it was a tour bus, you know, and you can hop onto the Nexus, and if you get deposited, you want to go back there immediately because it's so blissful. And when they were there, it was a timeless now moment. They didn't know how long they'd been there. It didn't matter. Time had no meaning. You know, Jim Kirk was with his wife cooking bacon, chopping logs, and he'd been doing that for 50 years. But it was now. It was just now. Always now.
He was where he chose to go.
Yeah,
wasn't he? It's almost like. I've heard it expressed, some people say it's almost like personal wormholes opening up in reality, and And it's kind of like your head state equals your angle of entry and your heart state equals where you're going to go or end up.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And the state of your solar plexus, your personal attachments to people, places and things,
yeah,
that's what slows you down.
Yes.
So this is the work. Mm. You know, we were talking earlier, everybody's got to do the work. This is the work that you have to do, is to become detached.
Yes.
Actually, in this, the way things are at the moment, you have to be detached. We have to stop looking at pictures and going, oh, poor thing. All that stuff, that's just going to hook us right back in. And that's what it's for. That's what
it is.
That's why they show us pictures of horrific things or pictures of fluffy kittens, you know.
And stories of fluffy kittens being hurt and stuff like that. They'll even get you that way, won't they?
Yeah.
You know, and it's to bring you down. Mm-hmm. You're so right, JP. It's to keep you down, to keep you in 3D, to keep you upset and angry and fearful and...
That's right.
Keeps
you in emotion.
Rubbish stuff.
Keeps you in the emotional center, which is the solar plexus. And the solar
guilty
plexus
about stuff.
Is attached. Oh. Yeah, so... This is, I mean, really, I think Wolf Spirit Radio, one of its remits, I think, is to help us all deprogram this stuff, this emotional stuff. I mean, I don't see of any other possible way that I can help as many people as possible during the next 6 months or 5 months or however long we've got before this thing starts to affect us.
Good point, JP. Good point. That's the work, isn't it?
This is the work.
As you said, de-junk our trunk.
Yeah.
I remember you said to me, and I was like, get the junk out of the trunk. It's anything that holds you down and is a weight, emotionally, physically, anything that just doesn't work for the future, that isn't going to be a part of it. And a lot of stuff to leave behind, isn't there?
Yeah,
lots of stuff to leave behind and relationships, and you know, it's not easy. Yeah. I can't hear you at all now. Sorry, JP, if you can hear me, I can't hear you at all.
Again, I'm going to have to move these batteries.
You're back.
I'm back. Yeah.
You're back. Hooray!
I'm trying to keep a particular length away from the mic, and that means I'm leaning on the desk. And so, when I was leaning on the desk, the same thing happened. I pushed the batteries, and the batteries pushed the switch, and the switch came off, and I had no more mic. Yeah, 20 weeks to go. Thank you, Chris. Wow.
Well, I'm sitting here having to hold my lead in a certain way.
Yeah. Wow.
I just lose you. It's my rubbish. You know, I should have maybe brought a better, you know, headset. I'll have to go and get one.
Coping with Mercury Retrograde here on Wolf Spirit Radio and Revolution Radio.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. We're actually on it, yeah.
But this is something, and incredible revelations, and I just feel like it ties in somehow with, I don't know yet, but with the, you know, what's going on everywhere in the world, and it being like the return of, you know, they talk about the return of Osiris, and you know, the return of the gods, and the return of, you know,
the demigods, yeah.
It's just something, it's like so huge. My conscious mind is so struggling. It's like this one poor little thing.
Actually,
in the midst of all of it.
Yeah, let it go. Let it go. Don't try and work it out, because it's like doing a puzzle that you have to keep stepping back to. I really like this thing. You know,
just can't cope, can it?
Yeah, Frank Jordan. You know, he does these meditations, and what he does, he says, take your focus and then pull it backwards, and it's like zooming out. It's really quite an interesting feeling. You know, you start off, you know, you focused on your third eye, on your brow, and then you draw it back through your pineal gland, and then even back into the occipital lobe. It's quite. You know, you can really feel it. You can really feel the expansiveness in your meditation.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm not. Yeah, didn't hear him say that one. I had some I had a bit of programmed kind of resistance or something. I just couldn't, to start with Frank's meditations, I really wanted to do them. But there was something inside me resisting it. But I'm so pleased I'm through that, and I'm just properly connected now, because it's beautiful, very powerful.
Yeah.
Proper energy work going on, isn't there? Now?
There you go. Now, let's talk about this resistance, right? It's a really important thing, because where you're resistant to a positive message,
yes,
guess what? That's where your homework is.
Right, okay.
You know? So it's like you can take an affirmation. You know these affirmations, they were big in the 80s and 90s, you know?
Yes.
I accept abundance into my life. You know, I'm a beautiful person. You know?
I could do it doing some of those, actually, wouldn't I?
But the thing is, what's important about these is not the idea that, you know, by saying this, you're kind of convincing yourself. Actually, the way you do it is to work it by, you say it, and then you can hear yourself saying, oh, no, you're not. And by turning back and facing that voice and having a conversation with that voice, that's right. The homework. And right. You can try it again. I accept complete abundance in my life. Oh, nothing. I can't hear anything, you know. And there you go. So that allows you to then progress with those kind of abundant thoughts by removing the resistance, you see. And a lot of people, they'll kind of use it as a mantra. I accept abundance. It's like they're kind of trying to hammer it into their heads, and it's not going to work, because it's just going to stuff it alongside all the doubts. And it'll just be a big pool of doubt in it. You really have to face and speak and have conversations with it.
That sounds absolutely bang on for, you know, when I do, you know, say abundance, you know, kind of affirmations or something like that. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's obviously there's something much deeper and bigger inside me that's I don't know, it's clogging things up.
Yes. Well, we've all been traumatized.
I need to work on my clogged upness.
Yeah. Well, we've all been traumatized, you know. We've all had these things, and what trauma does is makes you, you know, essentially want to hide in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. So there are all these little bits of us that are hiding in corners, and sometimes they have, you know, a knife or a gun. Say, don't touch me. And
they can be defensive.
Yeah, they can be a little too defensive. Yeah, but again, the way you work with these is you acknowledge the trauma, you acknowledge this fellow, and you know, again, you can have a conversation with these ideas, and you know, just take a piece of paper and start writing, and start, you know. So, you know, you just write down the question that you're kind of asking, and listen and see what happens, and write down whatever comes to you.
So working with our traumas is key to dumping our junk.
Yeah, well, because that's how the, you know, it's trauma based mind programming. You know, this whole MK Ultra thing is just a refinement of what happens in a natural way. You know, when you're in a family situation, or you've got abusive parents, or
absolutely,
or anything like that.
Yeah. I agree, JP. It's everywhere now, particularly. It seems, you know, that what was, you know, the MK Ultra style programming is really with us on a huge scale now through Wi-Fi towers and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and well, in fact, events like 9/11. Where the pictures of people dying. Now, remember when we were young, there was a thing. You know, you never saw somebody die on television.
Not
it was
in
a
English
taboo.
Press. Definitely not.
It was a big taboo. Press. Do you remember that?
And sometimes in more continental countries,
yeah,
they used to go closer to the, you know,
yeah,
stuff.
But and also, you know, in the continental countries, they also showed the other end of life a lot more graphically as well.
Definitely, yeah.
But
we had so much sort of censored for us by our paternal government, you know.
But on the other hand, it was, you know, to see somebody die is traumatic.
Yes, indeed.
And so, seeing thousands of people die, by millions and millions of people, that's a mass trauma.
Oh, for sure.
And then they come in. Oh, it's Al Qaeda. Oh, it's what's his name? What was his name? Oh, Bin Laden. You know.
Yeah.
See, I've forgotten it already. You know, that's how well the programming works on me. You know,
all this stuff.
Yeah, so they shock you, and then they feed you with information and say, "Oh, we're going to look after it. We're going to sort this out."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's those brown people over there with the ragheads. Let's go and get them. It just happens that they have lots of oil and lithium.
Yeah.
And it's gonna do us a lot of good business to invade this country.
Well, I'm reminded, as you were just saying that, JP, of the judges summing up at the Nuremberg trials, and he said, well, history, you know, this has taught us through what's happened here in World War II to look at them who are pointing the finger and not them that the finger is pointed at.
Yes.
I think that's a very key analogy with what happened on 9/11.
Yes, absolutely. And this is their MO, and you know, this has been happening ever since, because, oh, that works, all right, we'll do that again.
It works.
It's good, and there's, you know, there's lots of insurance to be collected, and there's lots of contracts to be offered for people to rebuild the things.
It's
a win-win-win-win-win for all the boys.
Yes, and they like this, don't they? Yeah. They got Team Dark. You know, they like to have a sort of... the amount of winning spin-off things that they can get off like one thing.
Mm.
I've noticed that, you know, it'll benefit this and this and this and this and this, because they just put as much stuff,
obviously
they know it's coming, they'll put as much stuff around it to capitalise on it, and it's beyond stitched up.
Yes. I mean, the insurance policy, and it's an old trick of the Bullingdon Club from Oxford. That's like the British version of the Skull and Bone.
Yes, blue coats. Yes, I know ones.
These, this is Dave Cameron and Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah, Eton. Sort of
Eton, and then to Oxford and the Bullingdon Club, which is like Nat Rothschild's playground.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Skull and Bones is the Rockefeller boys, and the Bullingdon Club is Rothschild boys, and what they teach them is destruction.
Mm.
The first initiation ceremony to join this little dining club is that you must allow all the rest of the guys to come into your room and break everything, to smash it to pieces.
Really?
Yeah. That's the first thing. This, and don't forget, this is like future prime ministers and all sorts of you know, high ups. And then we have the next part of the
I tried to think where it goes, sorry.
Oh, get this. You're going to love this. You're going to love this, because once you understand this, you understand the MO of these people, the modus operandi, how they do things, right? Okay, watch this. So they book a restaurant, and they go out for dinner. That's why they call it a dining club.
Okay,
and then somebody starts a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule in this thing, to join this, you know, you must start a fight, there must be blood on the walls, including yours, and that everything must be broken. Absolutely everything must be broken in this restaurant.
Blimey.
And then the person who's being initiated goes up to the restaurant owner and throws money at them. Thousands and thousands of pounds worth of money. In cash, throws cash at them.
Wow.
And then they will leave.
Wow, because that makes it all right, doesn't it? The money.
All right. So here's the thing.
It's all fine.
Here's the thing. All right. Here's the twist in it, and this is where it gets really interesting. The twist in it is that part of the game is that you take out an insurance policy on this restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wait till the penny drops on this one, right? And the insurance policy is what's known as a catastrophe bond. You know, it's like a special arrangement you make with a lawyer.
Right.
Essentially, the MO is that you have made more than enough money to repay the guy.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Marvellous. Yeah, so stitched up.
Okay, so now, scale that up, and you've got the catastrophe bond, which was being held against the pension fund of the firemen of 9/11.
Oh my gosh.
Which is why it was very convenient for a lot of them to die. Because there was no pension fund for them anymore.
Bless them. So I went into ambulance work, you know, and I saw what happened there.
Yeah.
That's how kind of traumatised I was by what I saw on the telly that day.
Exactly.
And just, you know, the world's never been the same since, has it?
Hmm.
Oh, it was like surreal. I know what you mean. It just definitely kind of wasn't, it was very out, not sort of out of body, what's the word? Altered reality when I was watching that TV footage for the first time.
Yeah, they were definitely probably altered. Different energies on it as well to make it more convincing.
Yeah.
I do remember one of the thing about, there's various different footage from it, and they all seem to be from the same angle, but like the skies are a different colour. It's like they put like a yellow, and it's like, where the heck do you get a yellow sky from?
Mm.
You know, all this footage that had all these weird colours on it. And nothing's really clear, and it's like you'd think somebody was
working. So the amount of footage, I don't think I've ever watched the same image so many times, you know, since on YouTube, of course, from different angles and so on and so forth. Blimey, that image
is... So that's the thing. So that's the MO of this club, the Bullingdon Club of Oxford. You can look it up, Bullingdon, Bull, as in Bullingdon Club.
Yep. And they are the most ugly group of individuals you will ever lay your eyes on.
Bunch of young thugs in nice clothes.
Yeah, chinless thugs. You know, on the whole, they've definitely got that. I'm very working class, as you've probably gathered, and come from a long line of people who are very working class and sort of union type people, and we just don't really like the toffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, and what the... hate's a strong word.
Yeah.
I really hate them.
Let's just pity them, because any time soon, they're going to be strung up by the... from lampposts and things.
They are the losing team.
They've put pressure on us for so long that it's bound to come back, you know. And because... All right, so let's come back to the rise of energy.
Well...
By the energy rising, and this is, you know, it might be the fact that we've got all these solar flares that are coming onto the planet, that we're actually getting energetic particles coming and sitting in our atmosphere. We don't know, you know.
I think so. We're saying about the dust from Venus and stuff.
We were talking about the dust from Venus.
And all this intergalactic particles coming in.
Venus and her intergalactic entrails.
Very lovely they are too.
Yeah.
Being Venus, they're all kind of, you know, I'm Victorian, I love Venus, so yeah, she's all good, Venus. She's lovely, isn't she? She's comfy cushions and in nice shades of pink and blue. She's lovely.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Except that it's quite a hostile environment.
We can't live there.
It's not nice. But you see, because, right, okay, so you're very aware that, you know, like a comet, every planet has a tail that streams away from it. We can't see it, but every planet has a tail of stuff that is boiling off the surface, being drawn away in the solar wind, which is something like, it's on average 200 or something kilometers a second. So that's quite a fast stream of energy that is blowing. I mean, it is a wind. It works like a wind. You know, it's particles and energies and things like that. So basically, with every planet, there is a corresponding tail that is streaming away from the sun. So when Venus goes transiting across the sun, that means that its tail is streaming right towards us.
Wow. And I was just thinking how that they look like those little sperms then, don't they, in the piranha?
Well, this might be it, but who knows? You know, well, let's have a look.
That shape, yeah.
If you look, there's a YouTube that has 2012 anomalies. And it's like, it's only July and he's up to, you know, version 51. He's like got all these little bits of clippings from around the news. But in June, which is just after the Venus transit, there were all these odd things that happened, including what they called biblical plagues. You know, there were frogs and there were insects and pestilences and all this stuff. You know, the same as what... And they were saying biblical, la la la. And I don't know if you're aware of my my pet theory. One of my pet theories is that the Exodus was created by the collision between the planet Venus and Earth. And the 10 plagues were the result of us passing through the tail of Venus as it came into our solar system.
Wow, I didn't know that. And that's exactly what we're sort of going through now, then?
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. I must admit, the floods that we've had here, I got stuck in about a month ago, and I did use the term biblical for them a couple of times, because it's just quite incredible to see landscapes you know well as fields that, you know, turned into the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
It's really, and it was more flooding. I've never actually been in flooding before. I've been seen some other stuff, hurricanes, but not actual floods. So it was like, wow, for me to be actually in it. So yeah, biblical.
Yeah. So yeah, and so basically, it's this is to do with Venus and Venus transiting across the sky. So. You know, it really does make a difference when the planet transits. You know, if it's going to go right between us and the sun, it means we're going to get their tail end. And it might not necessarily be very pleasant. And there's been all sorts of smogs all over the world, all these different, like, suddenly they've got a cloud that sits on the town. It's, like, heavier than air. Where did this come from? You know, it's not... these are not industrial waste. These are natural things, but they're coming from another place.
Yeah, we had that down here too. The clouds sit on the ground. We're like, get back in the sky, you know, so you belong. That was a few weeks ago, and they're just down on the ground for days, and it was really heavy, of course, you know, beyond humid. Never seen that before either. Everything's so new, isn't it?
Yeah,
so new.
It's new, but it's like. If we knew, we would just kind of have an idea. And I read this book years ago. It's called Worlds in Collision by Emmanuel Velikovsky. You can get it on Scribd. Download it, read it. It is a fascinating read. He's an astronomical scholar, and he basically noticed that all over the world at the same time, there was the same events are recorded in their astronomical data, and the year changed, the length and the day turned different, and the sun travelled the other way, and all this stuff. So it was a very, very significant event, and essentially, I'd say it was a catastrophe or a cataclysm, and it happened 3,500 years ago.
Lots
of things happened 3,500 years ago, and if you draw them all to be the same as part of the same event, everything makes sense. The island of Santorini in the Mediterranean, the volcano went off, right? Well, gravitational pull of a large heavy mass object passing very close to the Earth, that's going to pull magma up, that's going to set off volcanoes.
That's what I think is probably getting the Earth going now. Do you, JP?
We've got a heavy mass object coming in, a lot of people say. They're supposed to be talking about on Revolution Radio.
I feel this could be true, should we? I feel it. Yeah. Let's call it something coming towards us. Is it a 3D thing? Is it a 3D object? Is it the brown dwarf, or...?
Well, you know, it's definitely it's like a big piece of iron. Imagine, it's like the biggest magnet you could imagine. Iron. It's got one pole. It's all north.
So it's a magnetopole.
It's a huge monopole. And so as it goes past the Earth, it's going to pull up our south pole towards it.
Wow.
And that's why, I believe... that we go into 3 days of darkness as this thing passes, because it pulls us up out of our orbit and then as it's passed, our polarity will then swing back, and it will possibly swing backwards and forwards for a while.
Wow.
And thus the idea of a day is no longer applicable.
I had a vision years ago of something coming close to it by Earth, and it being very sort of shiny black, you know, sort of shiny prismatic black energy about it. When you're saying sort of magnetic, I mean that's sort of metallic-y, magnetic, metal, definitely metallic. And it's such a different energy from Earth. Mm. So different.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But very magical. I felt it was a very magical energy that it was giving us as well. Mm. Even that back then, years ago, that it was bringing something very new and sort of unearthly, new to, you know, something that I, whole new energy.
Could it be? Oh, there's our show. Thank you very much, Quattro. Quattro's up.
Thank you, JP. I forgot we were on the show. I was just chatting to you.
Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely? So, Revolution Radio.
Bless you.
Do click the donate button. Click the donate button on warspiritradio.com. Click the donate button on revolutionradio.com. Click the donate button on everbeyond.info. Come and have a reading. I'll read your rays. I'll talk about stuff. I'll talk about you. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. See you on Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, there we go. Thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio and Wall Spirit Radio. This has been Journeys with JP.